Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of The Ordinary Knitter. I hope you like the intro music. I've been listening to other people's podcasts quite forensically lately and noticing how they break them up. And when the music comes on of various podcasts that I listen to, I instantly get that feeling of, oh, good, it's this one. I really like this one. So I thought, what the heck, I'd try it out for myself. I hope you like it. Last week, when I re-recorded the episode, somehow I got to the end of the episode having not spoken about knitting bags, whereas the first time I recorded it, I managed to talk at length about knitting bags. So let's cover it today. Do you have multiple knitting bags? Are you always scrabbling around for something to shove your knitting into? Do you put your knitting in your handbag, or do you put your purse in your knitting bag? All of this came up for me as an issue last week, particularly last Monday. We went to the beach for the day, as I mentioned before, and I wanted to take these little socks. And I realised that I didn't have anything nice to take them in, so I had to settle for a sandwich bag. Somebody suggested that I could use one of those little free toiletry bags that you get on the front of magazines sometimes, and I thought that was a great idea, and I had in fact just found one a day or two before when my daughter was having a clear out, and it was amongst the things that she was getting rid of, so I carefully washed it and now I can't find it. The reason I was asking on Instagram was I wanted to know if anybody did any really nice small knitting project bags, or, you know, a sewing project bag, I should imagine, would work just as well. I thought perhaps if I couldn't find anything, it's the sort of thing I would ask my mother to make me for Christmas, because she's very good, all that sort of thing. It would be water off a duck's back for her to make something like that. But that just got me thinking more widely about what we use to cart our knitting about in, and why you might use a different type of bag at different times. And I thought I would have to talk briefly about the bags that I use. I was given for my birthday a couple of years ago a lovely red set with white spots, and there was a main project bag and there was a yarn bag. And for a while I did use the spotty bag, mainly when I was going off on the school run in the afternoon, and I would just pick it up, fling it on the passenger seat, and I'd be away. Now that was fine when I was knitting small projects. You can easily fit a pair of socks in there and your Notions bag and be away. But as I began to knit these really bulky jumpers for my husband, it was just hopeless. This red bag with white spots, it's sort of long and thin and tubular, and I could fit a couple of sleeves in there perhaps, but I certainly couldn't fit the body of a big jumper. So that wasn't so much use to me, and I was sort of just looking around really for old tote bags that I might have had, but somehow it was never satisfactory. With this project bag came a yarn bag. Now, I'd never seen one of these before. I've seen yarn bowls, and some of these yarn bowls are just real works of art. They're absolute objects of beauty. This yarn bag, it's very sweet. It's a sort of a stand-up cylindrical bag with a zip around the top and a handle. The trouble I find is that my yarn just never seems to want to come out of the skein that neatly. Partly, for instance, with these socks, I'm knitting from both ends of the yarn. I find that yarn has a knot in it. I find that my yarn decides it wants to unravel from the outside because I just can't pull it from the centre without turning it inside out. So I have never used it as a yarn bag. And it came to me in a moment of inspiration last Monday morning that I could use that as a small project bag, because it would be a really good size. And it's got a handle, and so I flew into my study to grab it before we went off to the beach, and discovered I've stuffed it full of things like baubles, you know, flattened, unfilled baubles, and swatches, and small things that I began and didn't finish, and sod it. So I grabbed a sandwich bag. Now, it was very, very windy at the beach, and while I was knitting, I would stuff the bag under my leg because nothing was going to escape from under there. But at one point I got up from my deck chair just without thinking, and this bag saw its opportunity and it flew across the beach, and several very kind families tried to grab it for me, and I was running after it, but it was hopeless. I'd have been 10 miles down the road and not even having a chance of catching it, so I had to let it go, which was, I felt terribly bad about that, leaving plastic bags at the beach, not the kind of thing I do, but unfortunately the wind just completely put it beyond my control. So I really am going to have to sort myself out with a small project bag. I think I'll have a word with my mum about that. But I have recently-ish, in February, I acquired for myself, for me, the project bag to end all project bags. It is a tote, but it's something about it. There's something about the way it's constructed or balanced or something about the handles. It just works better than any one I had before. And best of all, it says on the front, I love beer. Beer in Devon, obviously, which is where I visited in February, because my aunt and uncle live in that direction, and this was just absolutely perfect. I couldn't pass it by, and I get a real thrill out of turning up at places with my bag proclaiming loudly that I love beer. And I do love beer, but sadly these days I have to really avoid it if I don't want to double in size at the mere thought. I'll post a picture on Instagram of that bag, but it's great because it's so big. I can fit my pattern holder in it. I've talked about my pattern holder before. My husband made it for me for Christmas. It weighs a ton, but it's fantastically useful. But I can get that in it. I could probably get about 3 jumpers in it. I can get my Notions bag, my notebook, my glasses, this, that, and the other. It's just great. So that's been a real discovery. I was wondering also, have you pinched other things that people have given you for one purpose and you've ended up putting it to another purpose for your knitting odds and ends? I certainly have. I have 2 biscuit tins. One of them looks like a lovely old-fashioned radio. My stepdaughter gave me some biscuits in that at Christmas, and that's just great. And in that, I've put all sorts of odds and ends of skeins, really, you know, not quite sort of 6 inches, but you know, just a very small amount that might fit in the palm of your hand. And I'll talk about lifelines later briefly, and that's the kind of thing that's just absolutely fantastic for that. So I've got a box full of those, and I also have another biscuit tin which we were given at Christmas a couple of years ago, a lovely set. My cousin sent me the same set a couple of years running, which is absolutely fine by me because they're lovely and the boxes are really, really pretty. And once upon a time I kept all my Notions in there, but I found that having a completely inflexible metal box with hard edges was a bit counterproductive in my knitting bag. So these days I keep the things in there that I don't use every day, like my blocking pins, for instance. And my Notions bag is an old makeup bag that I got in Miss Selfridge when I was a teenager. So nothing like reusing things. I hope the sound quality is better today. I raise that because I'm about to play an interview with my mother, and I was toying with voice recorders for Android phones, and I downloaded this one. It seemed to be fine. I used it, and on playback I can hear it's got a number of sort of clicks and bangs on it, so I apologise for those. The interview is fairly short. I have now jettisoned that, and I've downloaded a different voice recorder, so I hope that interviews in future will come across rather better. So here is my mum Sue talking to me about her clanger. I'm here with my mum to have a chat about her clanger, and as I look at him, he puts me in mind of Vlad the Impaler more than anything else, which I think is quite an achievement for a clanger. Why did you decide to knit a clanger in the first place?
Well, I've always enjoyed the clangers, but coming back I had to watch them, and I came across these patterns and thought, I'll knit a tiny clanger.
He's not so tiny, is he?
I've dropped a clanger. he's now Colonel Clanger.
Why is he promoted?
Well, because he was so big.
Okay. I've described you on the podcast before as a slightly reluctant knitter. Would you say that's a fair description?
Yes, and when I discovered, to my horror, I was knitting a rather large clanger, I took rather longer than I should have to knit him, and one side turned out longer than the other.
Well, I talked about that in last week's podcast, but you sorted it, didn't you?
I've sorted it, and he's fine. I've knit his arms, and he's now got a moustache.
He's very fine, actually. Is it just his magnificence that's gained him a promotion?
Well, I think so. He was so terribly smart.
What made you choose the pattern that you finally chose?
Because it was the original, Oliver Postgate, his wife, I believe, knitted the first one, and I followed her pattern, but I didn't realise that it was for a big clanger. So I'm now actually about to knit a very small one, six inches high, apparently. And on that one, you start knitting from the bottom.
So it's a completely different construction.
Well, I'm not sure, but you this one you started with the nose and worked down, and with the tiny clanger, which is a Radio Times pattern.
Is it a recent Radio Times pattern?
I'm not sure.
I mean, it's not from the cities.
Well, I don't know. I looked at there were several patterns on offer. I think they've just become popular again.
So you found this pattern online somewhere,
I
did you?
think,
Yeah.
yes, but being the original one, I thought, oh, I should be the original one.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting to use the original one, but would it be impolite to point out the slags?
Well, that's what the pattern said. Those are his legs.
Yes.
They're very short.
He's a little more sort of penguin-esque, really, isn't he?
Well, he does have. He does actually have feet which haven't been glued on yet. Because he perhaps looks more like a penguin.
Yes, well, no, actually, the lack of legs, I think he's very convincingly clanger-like.
Good.
Yes.
Well, the nose is very important.
Yes, definitely. No,
Right.
you've definitely achieved clangerdom with the nose.
I found some black buttons, velvet buttons for his eyes, and I have given him a little dash.
You have. He's a dandy,
Yes,
isn't he? So
yes.
he's clearly a male clanger, and he has his very fine breastplate type arrangement. The small clanger that you're going to knit, is this male or female, do we know?
Oh, it will have to be female.
And she will have the sort of a cardigan or a tattoo.
Yes, I have to look through my stash of fabrics and
Oh, fabric.
decide.
Oh, you're not going to be crocheting her a little tank top then.
Well, perhaps I could farm that out.
Not to me, I'm afraid. Crochet is one of those things I've talked about before on the podcast. It's one of my frontiers at the moment.
Right.
It's any project involving crochet, I'm just putting to one side for now. I will get it in the eye at some point, but not at the moment.
It's a long time since I've done crochet, and it just doesn't appeal to me. No, it will be some little bits of fabric
Yes.
because she will be very small, 6 inches.
I know what's going to happen now. In a few couple of years' time, I'm not going to be able to get in the door for clangers. You'll have started something.
Well, yes. Somebody said yesterday I'd have to do dropped a clanger.
Yes.
To be a clown, I think.
The possibilities are endless, aren't they?
They are really.
Well, thank you very
Yes.
much for giving us a guided tour of your clanger. I'm going to take a photograph of him, and he'll be on my Instagram page, which is The Ordinary Knitter. And well, I look forward to chatting to you again soon, and I'll certainly let you know when the small clanger is on the way. So, over this last week, I've been continuing to work on these socks. I discovered, like a total numpty, that I didn't actually have enough yarn. I was rather horrified at how little seemed to be left, considering that I haven't even turned the heel yet. But then I looked more closely and discovered it's a 50-gram skein. So that was a bit silly. So I've ordered more of that. That's obviously that's going to hold me up on the progress of these socks. But as it was, I had to stop anyway knitting those because I had another project. It was my friend's birthday yesterday. I haven't seen her yet, but I think as I mentioned in last week's episode, I suddenly realised I needed to make something small. So, as I thought I would do, I've bought her this blue and white cup and I decided to have a go at doing her a little cloth to go with it. And all the patterns that I was drawn to seemed to have an element of lace work to them rather than just her initial or picture of a cup of tea or something. So, I thought, okay, you know, lace is something that's been in the back of my mind anyway, because if I do knit this bolero or shrug that I the sort of thing I've been thinking about doing, it's likely, certainly if it's a wrap, that there'll be an element of lace, and I thought it was reasonable to have a go. So I found this particular pattern and started off with it, and it was going okay to begin with, but then I started when I was about 3 rows into the lace, I realised that something had gone wrong. And I find things that have, in particular, when you've had to pull one stitch over another to make a, you know, make a decrease of some sort, I find that very hard to undo. If I have to go back and unpick what I've done, I always make a mess of that. And I'd sort of unpicked part of it semi-successfully, carried on, and realised I'd gone wrong again. And at this point, I just ripped out the whole thing. So started again, did my 6 rows of seed stitch, continued onto the lace part, and it went wrong again. I'd really had enough by this point. I didn't have time for the learning curve, really, partly because the birthday was coming up, but also I just had other stuff going on, and I just couldn't justify hours sat at the table. Also, I didn't want anyone to talk to me. I didn't want to talk to anyone myself, because you know what it's like when you're doing a complex chart, you just lose track. So I just ripped the whole thing out and decided to try something simpler. But the thing that always puts me off with these is the masses and masses of seed stitch you have to do first. I find that really brain numbing. And I remembered something I'd heard about lifelines, and I decided to use one. Now, I've recorded a separate podcast about lifelines. I was so enthused that I recorded another of these little 5-minute extra episodes. So I won't repeat myself here. But if you're interested in lifelines, do go and have a listen to that. I also put a short video up on Instagram of pulling the lifeline out, just so you can see that when you pull it out, there really is absolutely nothing left behind. Unintentionally, as a side note, with this mat, I think I've actually discovered quite a good beginner lace pattern. It obviously, being a mat, it's a small piece, and it introduces you to some of the basics of lace technique. I think something which is going to be interesting for me is getting to grips with lace charts. Interestingly, this first piece that I was doing, even though I ended up abandoning it, it had both a chart and written instructions. And I found that very useful. Had I had more time, it would have been a brilliant learning tool, because if you weren't quite sure of either something on the chart or something in the written instructions, you had the other to cross-reference it with. And it just, once or twice, that kind of helped me to sort out in my head what I was doing. And lace charts have their own sort of etiquette anyway, because you're constantly creating and removing stitches. And I had to use several video tutorials for that, and I will link to those. I found them very useful. Obviously, at least one of them is Stacey Perry from Very Pink Knits, but not all of them. I found that very useful. Have you heard of Worldwide Knit in Public Day? I'm sure you have. This is on the 18th of June, so as I sit here now, it's a week on Saturday. We're in Herefordshire, and from what I can tell, very disappointingly, there isn't a single event being held in Herefordshire. I'm very happy to help to arrange something, but unfortunately, I agreed weeks ago that I would run the school cake stall, because it's a school fete that day, and with setting up and packing up, it ends up taking far more than the 2 hours at the school fete is on. So I'm not, unless I go and plonk myself in the pub in the evening or something, which actually, now I come to think about it, isn't a bad idea at all, I won't be doing anything dramatic for Worldwide Knit in Public that day. As far as I'm aware, my nearest event is in Evesham, which is actually quite a long way away, is by no means on the doorstep. So I'd love to see what other people are doing. From what I can tell, looking on Twitter in particular, under the hashtag WWKIP, a lot of people have some great projects coming up, some great events planned for the day, and I would really like to help to arrange something next year, because I know there are a lot of very enthusiastic knitters in Herefordshire. It's a very rural county. We have lots of crafters, people running arts-based businesses, and I'm sure that there would be no difficulty in getting people together to arrange something, but it's always the way. Somebody has to start it. Somebody has to decide that they're going to identify a venue and they're going to put something together, and that's the kind of thing I would have really enjoyed putting together, but this year it's just not going to happen. You have to start arranging these things a lot further ahead of time. I think I'm coming to an end. I don't have quite so much to say for myself as usual this week. I hope you enjoyed the interview with my mum. It was just a bit of fun. And I do think that the clanger looks like Vlad the Impaler. And when I went looking for paintings last night of Vlad the Impaler to add in with the show notes, I was very struck by how right my first impression had been. And having the fun and games that she's had with the first one, I'm sort of rather tightening my seatbelt for creating the small clanger, but you know, she's had fun doing it. Well, thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Bye.